This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, colliders assemble. It is Saturday night, November the 9th. Rick Uchino, Iridian Fierro. No Cresta tonight. She's a little under the weather. We hope she gets better soon. But two out of three here. We'll run the free bird rule tonight here on the Collision Post Show, as we usually do on the FIFA YouTube channel. Thank you guys so much for joining us here. Make sure to hit that like button. Make sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And we always appreciate your support. Iridian, it's been a long week. I'm excited to talk some wrestling tonight. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's been too long. It honestly seems like it's been forever since last week when we did the Collision Post Show. So I'm excited to talk about wrestling and just talk about the graps with you. I know we are defending the titles on behalf of the trio tonight. So
yes,
I hope we do it justice. I hope we retain.
Hey, we're undefeated. All right. Like, as far as I'm concerned, we are completely and totally undefeated. Thank you guys so much again for joining us. Make sure to get your super chats in. Make sure to get your humper chats in. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the show before we get off the air tonight. And our wonderful moderator, Drew, will make sure he'll crack the whip behind the scenes like he's doing an MXM collection promo and make sure that I read all of them before we get off the air tonight. Overall, I don't know. Like, already we were talking before we came on the air tonight. I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, as far as like the in-ring action is concerned, I don't have a ton of notes, to be completely honest with you. And this was something we were kind of in agreement on. I'm more excited to talk about the stuff that took place outside of the ring and the little storytelling nuggets. Julia Hart's vignette tonight was spectacular. Can't wait to get to talk about that. Mariah May's promo was spectacular tonight. I thought Nick Wayne, his performance was really, really good tonight. But MXM Collection, obviously. At some point, I feel like maybe it's me. Maybe this is a me problem. But
no.
I'm more excited to talk about the stuff that didn't happen in the ring than what did happen in the ring. And at some point, I would like that to flip.
You know, I completely agree with you tonight. I think some nights, you know, they can't all be winners. And that's to be expected, sure. Absolutely. But I'm on the same page with you that tonight, I think the promos and a little bit of furthering of the storylines was way better. No disrespect, but I was just more excited for what was happening outside of the ring than what was happening inside of the ring. Like MVP talking to the Acclaimed, like I popped for that promo. I thought that was so, so good. Again, like you mentioned, Mariah, I was so excited for Julia. I have been waiting for her to come back.
Yeah.
And there's just like, so LFI, when they were talking to Beast Morto, was like, I thought that was incredible. So I was just like, man, they have done a really, really good job on showing the promos tonight. And, you know, we even saw the little Outrunners vignette. I'm like, oh, yes, that's fun. A little bit of the pacing. I'm here for it. But, you know, they can't all be winners. But the promos, they're killing it. Backstage segments, 10 out of 10.
Yes. And yeah, so many times we've seen on this show where, you know, Tony Khan will start us off with just an absolute, you know, banger of a matchup to really kind of set the tone for the night. Unfortunately, that really wasn't the case here. We opened up with House of Black against the Iron Savages, and this one was a full-on squash match. So right off the bat, it was just, we're going to beat you guys down. You know, they're going to mix in Iron Savages. They did mix in some of their comedy stuff. Their shtick is not for me. This is another thing we were talking about off the air. These are TV worthy talents that are doing a gimmick that is not worthy of television. In my opinion, I've seen the whole Titty City thing on three different independent shows by three different dudes. Like, it's not an original concept. These guys, they may appeal to some folks. They're not appealing to me. I'd like to see them kind of change it up and do something different. But, you know, they come and what they did tonight made no sense, because they come down to the ring and they're talking about how they're going to take House of Black spot in the qualifier for the tag team titles. And then immediately the bell starts and no one wants to wrestle Brody King. Like, and then they proceed to just get their asses handed to them. And then there was that weird spot where dude bros were basically 69ing each other, just waiting for somebody to drop the backsplash on him. Like, that whole spot took way too much time. That was very, very awkward spot. There's a lot that I'm not going to sit here and nitpick a squash match to death, but you know, I guess I kind of am. What did you think of this opening contest here, Iridian?
You know, on commentary, Nigel was talking to Tony about where Titty City was. I don't know if you caught that, but I popped for that. I thought that was hilarious. Iron Savage just came out in some new gear and was giving Zack Ryder woo 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 vibes, like the purple, like it was bright, it was loud. They're so unserious. And let me tell you, the House of Black is not the ones, okay? They are not the ones to be unserious with, because we saw tonight that they were not laughing. I was scared for the Iron Savage. It's like when they had their little moment of inappropriateness when they landed on top of each other and they were just surrounded by the House of Black. I knew this was not going to be good. Like, good for them, good match, but not good for the Iron Savages. So I was kind of just more excited for what happened after the match. So let's talk about that.
Yes, let's talk about that. And Iridian, your mic is doing kind of like this Terminator choppy thing. I'm not sure. So maybe you need to plug it in or check something out here. But while you work and get up close and personal with the camera there, we can work on that. Oh, look at that. She got the backup. What a professional.
What about this one?
No, that still sounds bad too.
What yes. the heck?
I don't know. Okay. So, all right. Well, we'll figure it out. But look at that, man. She got options. She got options over there. Yes. After the match, though, is when the show, for me anyway, like actually got underway, which was FTR coming down to cut a promo on the House of Black. These two teams are going to be facing one another in the Full Gear qualifier. FTR wanted to know who they were going to face. And it was Malakai and Brody who stepped up. But I loved the promo here from Dax and Cash, particularly Dax, where he is just laying it all out there, talking about how much these AEW tag team titles mean to him, that he has put them above family, friends, the almighty. Like, he has it, all they want to be, all they have ever wanted to be, is the AEW tag team champions in FTR, and nothing has changed for them since they got here 4 years ago. Can't believe it's been 4 years already, but nothing has changed for them other than the obstacle. And now the obstacle is the House of Black. And again, they're going to be facing Malakai and Brody on Wednesday. Hopefully already in your mic is good now. There we go. Look at that.
So I was using my webcam mic. So shout outs to me and my technical difficulties for the first.
Hey, we got it fixed.
The stream.
We got it. I have so many other like partners who would have taken 45 years for them to figure out what was wrong. So good on you. What did you think of the FTR exchange here with House of Black?
This was very interesting. I thought that they were going to team up, but you know, House of Black was not interested, and I didn't hate the fact that they didn't team up, because I am still in the middle with FTR. And that's me. That's me, because I know a lot of people are fans of FTR and I get it. I get the hype. I see it. But man, it's every man for themselves out here in the tag team division. That's what I'll say.
I just want to know what's going on with House of Black, particularly with Malakai. He had that very, very strange finish this week on Dynamite with Adam Cole, where it had the entire internet buzzing about what is going on with Malakai Black. And there was a lot of reckless speculation on what his future holds. And he had to go to social media to say, hey, look, please, for the love of God, stop speculating about what the hell is going on. I'm not hurt. I'm not retiring. I'm not leaving. Didn't specify what he wasn't leaving. AEW or professional wrestling, doesn't matter. It was nice to kind of get him out here very quickly after that Adam Cole match on Wednesday that had everybody talking. What was your thoughts on that? Where it seemed like he called for the match to basically be ended. He basically told Adam Cole, drop the boom, and then afterwards gave him a hug. And then Adam cut that promo and said, hey, you're one of the best I've ever faced in 16 years. And everybody's cheering for Malakai. It really did feel like, hey, I'm not going to be here anymore kind of a scenario. And then immediately he's here on Collision and he's got another match on Wednesday. Very strange what happened with him this week.
You know what that kind of reminds me of is the Ricky Starks incident where we were watching that match and then all of a sudden the match was over. I forget who it was against, but Ricky had called it and then he was just making sure that he was okay. Sometimes things happen in the ring. And I think that that might be one of those situations that Malakai maybe didn't know what was happening. And maybe he was just like, hey, like, I didn't feel good. Like, let me just call it. Who knows? But I feel like things like that happen all the time. And we shouldn't speculate because you never know. Well, yeah, you know, you never know. And you know how the internet likes to take things and run with it and start making things
Yes,
I don't know if you've ever seen
Like, we don't have a massive misinformation and disinformation problem in America. Aridian, how dare you? How dare you? How could you believe such a thing?
It's crazy. But yeah, I think, you know, maybe Malakai was just trying to be safe. But interestingly enough, before FTR did come out, the lights went out. And I yelled because mentally I was like, Julia, here we go. I'm ready for you. And then FTR came out. And I was like, oh, man. Here I am in my disappointment. But what was I thinking? Of course, they were foreshadowing for when they were actually going to play a promo video with Julia in it. So I was
Why don't we go ahead and because I'm too excited not to talk about that. Right. First off, we do have a super chat in from Just Ricardo. Thank you so much. Says it is Saturday. You know what that means. It means he's at work, but he gives the heart symbol. So hopefully you can catch up there, Just Ricardo, on the show. We always appreciate the support. Again, guys, get your super chats in. Get your Humper chats in. As if the whole House of Black scenario this week doesn't get – because, again, depending on how this match goes down, whether House of Black or FTR wins to qualify for Full Gear, if it's not House of Black, then there's another – head scratching moment. We get the Julia promo tonight and I have more questions than answers, right? Cause we see Julia in her old college cheerleader getup and she is doing a routine out on the football field. And then all of a sudden, like she's being stalked by a ghost. You see the House of Black version of Julia without seeing her face. And it's the hat and she's got the veil over her face and you can't see anything. And she starts Julia out on the field is obviously, you know, uneased by what she saw. And there's really kind of like a struggle between the two of them. Like, well, who am I really here? And then all of a sudden we see dark Julia shoot cheerleader Julia in the heart with an arrow. And man, like I didn't write down a whole ton of notes other than this. All I really wrote was Julia in all caps with like 4 exclamation points. That was really my only note on this one. But damn, I want to go back and I want to watch it again because I feel like there was a point in there where she kind of told herself, you know, like she's not enough or who are you really? Like there was some kind of line. I don't know if you took a note on it, but there was some kind of line there at the end that just made me go, what the fuck is happening? Is she coming back to House of Black? What is going on? I want to know who I'm with Drew in the chat. I want to know who produced this because this was very well done. And I have a million more questions than I have answers.
Yeah, this was very cinematic, very well written. We start off with Julia on a football field and she's cheering. And if you guys remember when AEW first started, this is Julia's gimmick. She was a cheerleader. She was with the Varsity Blondes and she was misted. And she would come out with like her eye, like half black and like half, like it was the process of her turning into the Julia that we would ultimately love with the House of Black. So the fact that she was cheering and asking if she made the team, I'm like, is she like having self-doubts about being in House of Black? Is she thinking about, you know, is she good enough? Like, what's happening? Because, you know, she's injured. She might be fully ready to go now. Who knows? I hope we see her on Dynamite or something. But, man, I am so excited to maybe see her and, like, feud with Mariah. Like, Mariah right now, whose promo was also excellent tonight, she was like, these women should be thanking me for having my foot on their necks. And I'm like, you know who's not going to thank you? Julia.
Well, Julia right now looks like she's fighting with herself. Definitely some internal struggle there. So I don't, man, it is going to be
so many questions.
I know. Cause the last time we saw her, she was teaming up with Sky Blue. Right. And I know Sky is out for a while.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My memory is terrible. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I know she dropped the TBS championship. I'm like, I don't know. There's so much that I got a lot of questions.
Crazy. Okay. Crazy.
Super chat from Tom Lee Valley says Cat Circus. Yes. Cat Circus. Let's go. Fair enough. We do get a confident Lio Rush backstage. This was going back after the FTR promo. We see Lio Rush backstage. Said that we all can feel it. There's a shift happening in AEW, and we are all a part of it. He's talking about how his past is creeping up on him, forcing him to decide whether he should join up with the Hurt Syndicate. He talks about how he's won two matches in a row, and he is about to be on fire. And that is when he calls out Swerve Strickland on Dynamite, which I thought was, first off, going to be a really, really good contest when that goes down. But the fact that Lio Rush immediately is now getting brought into this with Bobby Lashley around is something it was a direction that I was really, really hoping that they would go into, with Lio's history being Bobby's manager, like, what seems like 10 freaking years ago now at this point. I'm really happy this is a direction that they're going in. And you see MVP, he is out there. He is scouting all across. And I'm sitting here wondering how big is this syndicate going to end up being? Because he's handing out cards to the Acclaimed, and he's handing out cards. He wants to talk to Mercedes Moné, and he wants to talk to obviously Lio Rush. And they're MVP is open for business. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, Lio is such a good wrestler, but he was also such a great manager with Bobby Lashley. That was when I was at peak fandom with Bobby Lashley, when Lio was out there getting the crowd to yell, Lashley, Lashley. Yeah. Like, I was there. I was excited. I was hyped. So the fact that now Leo's kind of having this internal struggle of like, man, I don't know if I'm that type of person anymore. If my goal is the same as their goals, he's like, but I do have history with them. And there is a world where I do see Lio with that group. Like, sure, it would work out. I think it would be beneficial to everyone. But we also know that MVP is recruiting other places. Like, he might also is trying to talk to Max Caster. So Max Caster and Lio Rush with Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley, like, who knows how big this can get. But honestly, everything would be destruction all the time. Like, that's for sure something that I know. Everything, it's like replicating the Blackpool Combat Club at its peak, or House of Black at its peak. Like, this is another strong faction that we have in AEW, and I don't hate it.
Brandon Chandler saying beats Commander once. I got this. I'll take on the former champion now. Man, Commander out here catching strays on a Saturday night.
Damn. What did Commander do? Like,
he lost.
Commander's great.
Yeah, he was on one earlier this week. That's for sure. We had the Outrunners and Top Flight in a full gear qualifier. This is the first one to see which four teams are going to challenge Private Party for the AEW tag team titles at Full Gear. Top Flight, they had full control of this matchup until poor Layla Gray got in the way of a dive on the outside. She didn't fully get taken out, but she did get in the way. And then that caused now a riff between Dante and Darius. And Top Flight, these boys ain't on the same page. Top Flight and Action Andretti, you know, they've been arguing and shoving each other backstage. And now all of a sudden we get Dante and Darius. They start arguing over Layla's safety on the outside. That allows Truth and Turbo to get the upper hand. They ultimately end up getting the win here after hitting Total Recall on Dante. And like, I don't want this to sound, I don't want people to take this the wrong way. The Outrunners should not work. They should not work. Like, their whole gimmick, the whole shtick, the whole pulling them right out of the 19. These guys should not work in 2024. But everything they do does. And it just speaks to me. They are one giant nostalgia act. Like, everything from doing the "you son of a bitch," you know, from Predator, arm flex, drop down, their finisher being called Total Recall. Like, it's like they were drug, like, right out of a 1980s action movie and put into a wrestling ring in 2024. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I love every second of it, and I'm really happy they're going to get this opportunity to compete at Full Gear.
Yeah, I love the Outrunners, and it's like you said, like, it's not supposed to work.
No.
We shouldn't be as excited as we are, but, like, I hear that little music, and I'm like, here we go. Here we go. I'm excited. I'm ready for it. And what was interesting about this match is that moment with Layla. Right. That's what kind of got Dante and Darius kind of, you know, arguing and yelling at each other, like, "Hey, watch out for Layla. Like, oh, you didn't see her." And the tag teams are not doing well in AEW right now. OK, so you got the Acclaimed, who's also having internal debates of, like, "Oh, I'm the greatest wrestler, but I might join MVP. Who knows?" And now you have Top Flight also arguing. And you can't do that when you have these guys who are really, really hot right now, like the Outrunners, who can possibly push forward. And we saw other tag teams tonight too, like Brian Cage and Lance Archer. Like, those are guys who are also moving their way up. They're climbing those rankings, and people are starting to also cheer for them. So Top Flight could easily get left behind if they split up. And yes, they would be great, but the tag teams, they're really, it's a lot of competition. You got also MXM, who also had a great promo tonight. There's so much great talent on this roster. I don't even know where to look.
Yeah. So, and this is something that we had talked about. Like, it was just a few months ago. We were talking about how the tag team division was basically three teams, and that was it. And it needed a refresh.
Yeah.
Give Tony Khan credit. He has put in the work to kind of build up. I mean, when MXM were brought in, they were signed basically as a Ring of Honor team. And now we're seeing them as regulars on Collision, and they have earned that spot, honestly, because they're so damn entertaining. The Outrunners are incredibly entertaining. We had LaRoff Ford say, "Rick, I said the same thing earlier tonight. These guys should not work as an act in AEW, where wrestling is the focus, but they are over with the crowd." And that goes to show you, if you can find a way to connect with an audience, particularly an older audience, like, immediately I get the Predator references, right? I Total Recall. I'm like, okay, I get it. These guys are Schwarzenegger fans. I know there are some people in here right now who probably have no idea that Arnold Schwarzenegger was even an actor or a politician or a bodybuilder, or even who the hell he is. But for people like me, old dudes like me who have lower back pain just sitting in this chair, I freaking love it. It speaks to me. So if you can get over in any way, shape, or form, you've earned a spot on TV. And I am curious where this is going with Top Flight, where all the infighting is going, because I feel like this is a team that is really, really talented, but has never really had the chance to kind of get off the ground. And that's been because of their injury history. It's like, I believe Dante, Darius has had multiple injuries. Dante had that freak incident with the ladder that one time. And so these guys have constantly been start again, stop again, one step forward, two steps back. And now it's like, when there's an opportunity to build the next generation of tag teams, it feels like Top Flight doesn't have a spot there right now with the infighting that they're having, which is a little disappointing, a little confusing, but I do think these guys would be fine, especially Dante. I think Dante would be perfectly fine.
And that's the thing. I know that they'd be fine, but it sucks the fact that we are getting this, like, tag team division rebuild, and these guys are the ones that should be at the forefront. They should be the top guys. They are Top Flight. Rick, don't make me feel old.
Sorry, Hoss. We all feel old.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, they have just been riddled with unfortunate situations, with injuries, and I feel like they haven't gotten their moment to really shine as a tag team and go and have that run. Like, we know that they can have it. So
we're in the trios division, really, either. Like, there's two different divisions that they have a chance to shine. in here.
And they're good wrestlers and they're young guys and they literally fly and they're so quick. There's just, I can't believe that they really haven't gotten to shine. I go back to, you know, Action Andretti's debut against Chris Jericho and everyone was like, oh my God, this guy is the guy. And now what?
Like, has he had a win since then?
Since Chris Jericho? Okay.
Like when Nigel brought it up, or was it Tony brought it up, that was in 2022. I'm like, shut up. Oh, that was not 2022. You're lying to me right now. Please tell me that was a misspeak. I don't know. My memory is terrible. Like, I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but like, no, that match was not in 2022. Don't lie to me.
That's crazy.
If that's the case. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm hoping this doesn't discourage Top Flight, or that there is an overall plan for them to be like a really strong tag team. But what really cracked me up about this match was what Nigel said after the Outrunners won, and that was that there wouldn't be any room in their fanny packs for those titles. I love Nigel. Nigel, never stop being you, because he serves every single day, every single day.
Oh my God, that match happened in December of 2022. Action Andretti beat Chris Jericho December 14th, 2022.
Well, technically 2023, right? Because you can just round it for the next year.
But we're almost in 2025, Iridian. Any way you slice it, that was 2 years ago.
I was like, you can round.
Goodness. Here's an interesting question from Yes Boy, a super chat. Thank you so much. Besides Randy, which it's almost like he read my mind because he would definitely be the number one.
Yeah.
Favorite tattoos on any wrestler? Now, I have to admit, Iridian, I am not a fan of tattoos in the slightest. Like, in the slight, I'm not.
Not on you or on other people or just in.
Period. Like, period. Really? Period. Now, Randy's. Badass. I gotta admit, there are some rare occasion it looks good. So it's hard for me to pick somebody other than Randy. I'd really have to think about it. But what about you?
The first person that comes to thought for me is Roman Reigns. I think Roman's tribal. He's got his whole front chest right here and the arm. Like, I think it's fantastic. I like Randy's original tribal, which was just the little band. Before he got the whole sleeve. But also, I think Rhea Ripley has some really, really great tattoos. So those are probably my top two.
You went with Roman Reigns. The one that I immediately went with was Jey Uso.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Kevin Owens having an entire Tyrannosaurus Rex skull on his shoulder.
Yeah.
It's hard not to,
Doesn't he also have a John Cena tattoo somewhere?
I could you see it?
I don't know.
You did?
I don't know.
We got the Acclaim backstage. They put LFI on notice. That is until the Hurt Syndicate shows up. Mm-hmm. And MVP is doing his whole spiel where he's like, when was the last time y'all had gold? Y'all are just a bunch of clowns, this, that, and the other thing. And you got Max and Anthony, once again, not on the same page about how they want to respond to MVP. Clearly, Anthony Bowens is like, we don't need you. We're not interested. Peace out. Max Caster, though, he definitely is interested. And then the whole time as they're talking, especially as Anthony's talking, you've got Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley, who look like they just want to pop his head like a pimple. And I loved that line afterwards where MVP is like kind of like holding him back. And he looks at Shelton. He's like, you know, y'all can't kill everybody. And then Shelton's just like, without stuttering, was like, why not? Like, immediately. I'm like, hell yes. Because Shelton Benjamin in the Hurt Business, rarely did he get a chance to be an aggressor or be anything really other than, you know, side piece, part of the tag team, you know, with Cedric Alexander. I feel like he's a more vocal upfront part of this group. Obviously, he was the first big acquisition for MVP when he first showed up. And the fact that he's kind of, at least so far, being presented on an even keel with Bobby Lashley, I'm a huge fan of that.
I was a huge fan of MVP and the group just interrupting the Acclaimed, because first of all, Max Caster was like, oh, I'm the bilingual badass. Who taught him Spanish? I feel like he's like, let me go ask somebody really quick how to say this one line, and then I'm going to add it to my promo. And MVP showing up, he's like, don't you guys want to be serious? And I'm like, thank you. Finally, someone with some sense is here. Okay. Because this isn't funny anymore. We stopped laughing at the Acclaimed a long time ago. Like, this was not funny anymore. I wanted them, like we know that they're great wrestlers and they have good matches, but I feel like sometimes with like, oh, you can only do the scissor me gimmick so much. You know, we've moved on. The Outrunners are it now. Okay. That gimmick is shipped. We're done with it. And at this point, just turn Max Caster heel. People did not like him when he was rapping. And by people, I mean me and Cresta. So.
I mean, he was hit or miss, you know.
Yeah, more miss. But I'm glad he's not doing it anymore. And we're just saving those for special occasions. But yes, turn him heel and put him in the group. Because if you want to get booed, Max Caster is definitely the way to do it.
Make sure to get your super chats in. Get those humper chats in. Another one from Yes Boy saying Iridian. So this is directed to you after Ooh. I mentioned that I don't like tattoos. if you were able to get any wrestling tattoo / memorabilia, what would you pick?
I would probably get a little like a wrestling mic. I'd get a mic with like a little logo on it. I think that would be cute. I don't know if I would get like specifically any wrestler on me. Maybe I'd get like a little phrase or something. I've always thought about that quote that Brie told Bryan Danielson, like, if you fight for your dreams will fight for you. I think that quote is beautiful. So maybe, who knows? I don't know. But thank you for the question. Rick, I'm going to ask that to you. If you were to like tattoos, which one would you get? Even if it was a little temporary tattoo, just a little one that washes off the next day.
I have no idea. Honestly, I've never even thought about it. Like,
really?
I know I can answer the memorabilia part of this.
Okay, the memorabilia. Yeah.
I want a title belt. Like, I want the World Heavyweight Championship title belt. That, since I was a kid, I have wanted one of those. And I have never been in a financial standpoint to buy one.
Yeah.
Having two kids, I don't think I'm ever going to be in a financial situation where I can buy one. And when I wanted to get one years ago, they were only like $300. Now they're like $650. F you, inflation. But I digress. So if I could get one, that's what I... If I ever had a $600 just laying around, I would buy a World Heavyweight Championship.
You know, Black Friday's coming up. They might have some sales. You brought up title belts. I love the original WWE Women's Championship. And that Divas title. I know people have their feelings about that, but I grew up.
Butterfly belts got a cult following.
I love the butterfly belts. That's the championship that I grew up on besides the women's title. And a lot of my favorite women, you know, we're from the Divas era. So that has my heart. So I love the little butterfly belt. I also love butterflies. It is what it is. But $700 is wild.
It's crazy. I would also really, really love one of those. I would need two of them. The WWE belts that they do with the NFL and MLB teams.
Yeah. Those are
cool. I would need the Reds and Bengals belt if I had, you know, if I could just throw money away, you know, if I didn't have to spend it all on daycare, that's what I would buy. We had Roddy Strong and the Beast Mortos tonight, and Roddy ends up getting the win in this one. We kind of knew what the outcome of that matchup was going to be the second it happened. This was the second match that Roddy needed to win here, as he's trying to win three and get that match against MJF. I mean, I think we all can agree it's probably going to end up being a triple threat at this point. I don't see Adam or Roderick losing, so they're both going to get to three, and they'll probably end up being a triple threat. That would be my guess. Or they'll end up having to fight each other at Full Gear, and then the winner will ultimately get MJF because he's just going to keep moving the goalposts, right? Regardless, there was one spot in this match that I just, like, seriously, I just had to audibly just say, God dang. When Mortos picked up Roddy Strong for the slam, but he didn't quite have him in the right spot to do it, And he's just holding this man up, like trying to adjust with one arm. And he didn't drop that dude at all. Like, he's just sitting like, okay, I got him. All right, we'll do a little adjust here. Okay, got, no, all right. And then finally he's like, all right, I got him in the cradle. Boom, and I'm going to slam him down. How strong is this dude?
The
like,
strength,
didn't even flinch.
The strength on Beast Mortos is insane. And also, props to Roddy, because Roddy also had him in the air a few times. So yeah. I was like, okay, very, very impressed. I did like this match, but I liked what happened afterwards even more.
I'm sorry. I love Onion, or Onion. I can't read. Orion, Ben, Mortos isn't human. He's Guar. Anyway, that was a really good quote. But anywho, Beast Mortos, man, lives up to his name. He had this match seemingly in control throughout most of it. Roddy's able to slip out of another slam, hits the jumping knee. I love that they're really putting over the jumping knee as just like this quick boom. I hit it. You're done. It's over. Match is done. Now, I would have preferred if this wasn't one of three matches that ended tonight with a jumping knee, but I digress. That's just me being picky. Afterwards, though, you're right. We get Lance Archer. He comes down, and he just sticks Roddy right after this match with Brian Cage watching on. Krista, or I'm sorry, not Krista, Iridian. For a year plus now, we have been talking about how we wish they would do something of substance with Lance Archer. I'm trying to get my hopes up. I feel like it's finally happening. I feel there's actually some plans here for him, this man.
I'm calling it. I'm getting my hopes up, okay? Lance Archer's on screen. I said, yes! Yes, I've been waiting. And then Brian Cage, too. And I'm like, this is what I've been waiting for, because I also feel like Brian Cage has kind of flown under the radar since he's been here. He hasn't really gotten those opportunities that, you know, we've wanted him to get. But now with Lance Archer, this is a tag team. And like we've said, they're really building up this tag team division. And these guys are believable monsters. So I'm ready. And the fact that they're going after everybody, this is what they need to do. Much like the Hurt Syndicate, they need to just every week pop out, beat somebody up. Because that's what gets you championships, okay?
Orion again in the chat saying, murder machine commits murder. Go figure. Hey, you know what? Nothing wrong with being on brand.
If it ain't broke, don't being on brand.
Speaking of being on brand, here's Sean Rossap for a quick second.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call up with BlueChew.com and the code FIFEL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door. In a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew. And the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top. You know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Iridian, we had Mariah May on the show tonight. Not in person, but the video promo, backstage promo. And I honestly think this was the best one that she's cut. One of the best ones that she's cut since winning the AEW Women's Championship. She just comes out and like an internet troll just says, I hate women's wrestling. Like right off the bat, just keyboard warriored this shit. I hate women's wrestling. She says after she won the title, she realized she's surrounded by pathetic women. Little shits, she called them. On a Saturday night, yeah. Calling them little shits. She says they all know the truth. She's not in the women's division. They're in her division. No one can touch her. Says years from now, people will wonder who killed women's wrestling. And it was her. It was Mariah May. And all of a sudden, like, I feel like her booking over the last few weeks, several weeks has come into, you know, they're kind of doing this. They're kind of doing this on purpose a little bit with her. They want her to come off as this higher than Mighty. Yes, she's good and no one can touch her kind of a thing without really feeding her a with no disrespect to the women that she's beaten, a credible threat to take the title from her. It's kind of like after Rocky won the championship in the movie. I don't know. Have you ever seen the Rocky movies?
No.
No. Okay. Well, spoiler alert, after the second one, right? He wins the belt, and then like all of his title defenses were against guys that they were lining up cupcakes for him for him to beat so he could have successful title defenses. It kind of feels like that's what they've done with Mariah's thing to kind of give so she can kind of walk around like her shit don't stink and say, look, I've beaten everybody. There's nobody here that can touch me right now. It feels like they're kind of doing all of that on purpose now.
You know, it's interesting because Mariah, I think it was probably one of the most phenomenal promos that she's done. And the fact that she said it, I mentioned it earlier, but she's like, they should thank me for standing on their necks because she's going to kill women's division. Honestly, this needs to be replayed on Dynamite, replay it on Rampage. Everyone needs to watch this promo because I believed her. I believed that she was going to like run through this division and that no one was up to Mariah May's standards. Yeah. So man, it was just so good. I love her. I truly do. And I hope, you know, last week she had a match with Anna Jay, which was fantastic. And I loved it. But I think that match that she had, I was like, okay, we are building towards something. I don't know what, but I hope that the competition is going to start getting a little harder for her.
Yeah,
because she needs to start really being able to defend that title. And it needs to be against women who can also go just like her, because I feel like after Tony, there just really wasn't anyone lined up. And I know we've talked about this, that it seems like they didn't really have a plan for her after she turned and after she won that championship. So now they're kind of, it seems like they're kind of figuring it out as they go. So I hope that there is a direction, and like we're going to talk about later, but Anna Jay, I guess, is the new direction. So that is going to be probably a killer match. That no disqualification one.
Yeah. So like they either didn't have much for her to do out of the gate and they completely retconned all of that with tonight's promo, or that was the plan out of the gate. And this, you know, they're kind of wanted to take some time to maybe build up some other challengers and then kind of heat things up. Mina Shirakawa, as somebody has mentioned in the chat, she's going to be showing up here sooner rather than later. Obviously there's some history that they can dive into. So maybe that's what's afterwards. But you did mention it, Anna Jay. She cut a promo afterwards saying that the next time she sees Mariah, she's going to choke her out. Until she.
Which that was hilarious, right? Because that was a callback to when she was with the Dark Order. And anytime she saw somebody, she's like, oh, I'm going to choke you out.
She's going to choke her out. She says, look, you got one. I got one. Let's go. No disqualification match. If she loses, she'll never challenge Mariah for the title again. Mm-hmm. I don't think Anna Jay has a prayer of winning this, but I don't hate the fact that they're going to give her one more shot at it.
I don't. And honestly, I'm excited to see it because I think the women always kill a stipulation match, whether it's the Lumberjill match, whether it's that Chicago street fight, if it's a literally no disqualification, everything is so good. The women always kill it in a stipulations match. And I think this is going to be no different. This is probably going to be one of the best matches of the night.
After that, we got our only women's match of the night. If you can call it that.
Yeah.
Tony Khan, if I can nitpick for a second here. If you're going to book one women's match on a show, especially Collision, where you have women's wrestling advocates across the board who are always going to bitch at you when you mess it up, please don't have that one women's match be shorter than the post-match beatdown. Please, just I'm begging you. I'm begging you. This was Chris Statlander going up against Ashley Vox. Straight squash. I think it lasted 25 seconds. She hit Saturday night. It was over. Mercedes comes down, hits the backstabber, and then locked in the bank statement for, again, what felt like longer than the actual match took place. Mercedes coming down, doing what she did. One, still wearing the TBS championship belt. That was impressive. I don't mind the post-match stuff. Help build up to their match for Full Gear. That's fine. But damn.
Yeah.
They did the girls dirty with this match here.
No,
thanks for coming, Ashley. I hope you got a good paycheck out of it.
It's so funny because you and I were talking about it before we started the stream. I was like, you know what? I think that was a good women's match. And you're like, what are you talking about? What women's match? You said it was like 10 seconds long. And then I was like, oh, you're right. It was a little short. Yeah. I was excited to see Chris Statlander. She had new gear. She honestly looked like she was sunny side up, like the other side of a rainy day. That's what Chris Statlander looked like. I was like, 10 out of 10, Chris. Yes, for you. But yeah, her music hit and I was like, oh great, this is the match now. And then I saw there was already a woman inside the ring and I was like, oh no, what are we doing? Poor Ashley. Honestly, Chris Statlander, that was disrespectful. That was it was so disrespectful. But I was excited to see Mercedes come out and yeah, the backstabber into the bank statement. I will never not pop for that. That just looks so good. And she, like you said, did it with that championship belt on her. So I was like, amazing. Yeah, honestly, 10 out of 10. I also need to see that match. Yeah.
But any match where like the talent's getting the go home signal before they've even finished their entrance, like why are we even having this match? Like at this point. Like
yeah, and you know, yes, props to Tony for adding, you know, those promos for the women in, but we should have had a match. We really should have had a longer match and there was room for it. That main event did not need to be 30 minutes long. It absolutely did not. Yes, I get there was shenanigans going on, but like, come on, what was going on? Also, Jack Perry and Action Andretti was also long. I think we could have had enough time for a solid women's match.
Yeah. Well, first off, that first opening match, nah. You could have done a House of Black FTR video package promo instead of the in-ring exchange, right? You could have cut something up together and aired it after the opening match, which could have been, I don't know, another women's match, set something else up. You could have actually given Statlander a match against somebody who is signed to the active AEW roster and had that been your opening segment. There's a lot of things I would have done differently. Especially considering that this was the second straight up squash match of the night within the first, hour at that point. Got a super chat here from Laurent Ford. Says, I have no idea what TK is doing with the women's division since All In. The women are getting less TV time than ever and feel like an afterthought. Yeah, man. You know, I've noticed this same thing in WWE. It's like with both companies, they choose which division they want to like build up at a time. It's either the tag team division or the women's division. And it feels like when they start focusing more on the tag team division, the women's division takes a back seat. And I feel like that's happening right now in both companies, because I feel like WWE, they're really ramping up the tag team division, especially with the Motor City Machine Gun showing up on SmackDown. Feel like the women's division has kind of taken a backseat, especially on Raw since they dropped down to 2 hours. You know, there's just not a lot that they have going on outside of Liv and Raquel and Rhea. Now Rhea's on the shelf. And I do feel kind of similar. The same thing has happened here. Tony Khan has put so much effort into rebuilding the tag team division. And whether or not it's a coincidence or not, it feels like the women's division has kind of pulled back a little bit.
Yeah. And that's crazy because that's not the story with NXT. You know, we had, I think it was like 10 women on one night, and you're having Stephanie Vacher and you're having Julia and you're having Roxanne. And it's just like incredible what they're doing. And I think people need to really take pages out of the women, out of the companies who are really doing the women justice, or the certain programs that are, because yeah, we love to see them on promos, but we also want to see them in the ring, especially when you have two champions. So I don't know. And like Mercedes is there, so give her more time. She's your star. Come on.
Were you, tell you what, like real quick, I know this is a collision show, but
yeah,
thoughts on the Women's United States Championship? That was,
oh my God, I think that's so cool. I think it's so cool. I think it's absolutely needed. I didn't see the difference between the men's belt. I just honestly thought it was the men's belt. It's just a different strap. So I was like, oh my God, finally. So we can get a storyline for women, because yeah, you can't always be going after Liv. Who is the other champion?
Naya. Right
now? Naya? Yeah, and Tiffany Stratton is the Women's Money in the Bank winner. So we just need something else. We just need something else.
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, Becky Lynch, when she had the NXT Women's Championship and she was doing those open challenges on Raw, you know, sure, it only lasted 40 days, but it was a really strong 40-day reign. And I always looked at that and I went, okay, if you did that, what you did with Becky, if you did that with a singles women's championship on the main roster, it would work. That showed me that a single secondary women's championship would work. And I feel like it is something that is needed. You need that stepping stone for on the main rosters, especially. You bring up somebody like Elira Valkyria, who has won the NXT Women's Championship, but so many people have not seen her because not everybody who watches main roster has watched NXT, and they don't know her and they don't see her as somebody who is an instant credible challenger to something. And it's going to be the same thing when Roxanne Perez comes up. It's going to be the same thing when Julia comes up. It's going to be the same thing when Stephanie Vaquero comes up. So to have that stepping stone to give somebody a chance to win and get some credibility, much like they did back in the day, Triple H, Stone Cold, all those guys, Shawn Michaels, they all won the Intercontinental title before they won the Women's Heavyweight Championship or the Heavyweight Championship. So I do think this is a good idea. I just hope there's enough TV time to go around for this. And I'm wondering what's going to fall to the wayside, what's going to take a step backward. And I'm very intrigued to find out who's going to be the inaugural champion. The TNT title was on the line tonight. Jack Perry in an opening open challenge against somebody we were talking about earlier, the man who beat Chris Jericho back in 2022. It was Action Andretti. Action Andretti, who, honestly, the man can go, all right? He was very, very impressive in this matchup. That 450 splash that he hit was absolutely flawless. A nice Spanish fly here for a two count as well. Went to the well with the splishy splashes one too many times. Jack Perry ends up hitting him with a knee, and he escapes. Or scapegoats with a win by hitting the pop-up knee to the dome piece, and he is able to retain the title. This was a fun match. Maybe it went on a little too long given Action Andretti's win-loss record, but it was a nice showing for him on this one.
It was a nice showing for him. Yes, it was too long. I agree with you. Because I have one note. I was like, oh my God, Action dropped Jack on the apron. Which looked crazy. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, I think it was good. You know, we got to see Jack Perry, who is the champion, so shout outs to him. And we got to see Action Andretti. I don't know what's the plan for both of them going forward, but it is what it is.
Oh well, Jack Perry is losing the title to Daniel Garcia at Full Gear.
That's what you think?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what Daniel Garcia thinks. He came down and he called Jack Perry a millionaire nipple baby.
Which he wasn't wrong. Damn. But how dare you?
Damn. That cuts deep. Like, truth hurts. Says at Full Gear he is going to become the TNT champion. And Perry just says, you're not ready. You're not ready.
Which, honestly, any champion could say that about anybody. You're not ready. That's fine. I'll give you the title defense. But, like, okay.
I just love Jack's confidence where he's like, oh, fine, I'll give you the match, but you're not going to win. You're not ready for this. You're not ready to be the TNT champion. And it kind of goes back to the backstage segment they had a week ago where he's like, you're not ready to do the things that it takes to get to where I'm at. And we did see that with Jack Perry. Jack Perry for 2 years talked about winning a singles championship, and all of a sudden, real glass, cry me a river, he turns heel, and now he lights himself
on fire. So
dude, it's committed. It's a new
jungle Jack. So maybe Danny's not ready. Who knows?
You don't think Daniel Garcia is winning in Full Gear?
I don't know. I feel like anything could happen. I do believe in Danny Garcia. I honestly thought he was going to pick up the win when he was fighting MJF at All Out, I believe. And that didn't happen. So I was like, well, I guess I thought this was the moment we were getting it and we didn't. But maybe this one. Maybe maybe this time. Why are you laughing?
My guy, A-Shock. 9021 Nepo, baby. That's good shit. I'm sorry. That's really good. I love it. Well done. Top marks. We had Nick Wayne versus AR Fox. So the match was great. The match was really, really solid. You know, the numbers game catches up with AR Fox. But again, this is another one of those instances where I was more excited about what happened pre-match and post-match than what happened bell to bell. And then again, it had nothing to do with the bell to bell action. But can we talk about for a second Nick Wayne just turning into Christian? Yeah. Like 100% turning into Christian. The tasteless promo about it being the anniversary of AR Fox's dad passing away. Crazy. And then this man flawlessly executed Christian's entrance. He had the mannerisms down. He had the facial expressions down. If I did not know any better, I would say that Nick Wayne was Christian's actual son, the way that he has been able to study him and kind of transform into him with the entrance and everything. It was uncanny, really strong performance from him and in finding his character work here and be really kind of sewing himself into the patriarchy.
You know, Nick Wayne is so young, and seeing this side of him right now, the fact that he could adapt to such a strong character like Christian and really get everything pat down, like that was incredible to see, because I was so mad at him. I was like, how dare you, Nick Wayne? Like, you're gonna start off talking about dead fathers? That is so Christian. And AR Fox not letting that slide, he started the match before the bell rung, but everything that Nick Wayne did was vicious. It was something that Christian would do. And, you know, I guess Christian is probably proud. Christian is probably loving this, honestly.
And what he probably loved more was this man just straight up stapling a photo of his dead father to AR Fox's forehead after the match was over.
That was insane. Like,
savage.
And the fact that Mama Wayne just carried that on her.
Yeah, just had it. Just had it. Locks it. It's like, oh, yeah, I got, hold on, let me pull out my Glock. There you go. Here's your.
I'll do you one better. I got a stapler.
Cresta. I keep calling you Cresta. I'm sorry.
We miss Cresta tonight.
I do. And I'm so used to bouncing back and forth. So yes. It's just really easy for me to say Cresta and Iridian. But Iridian, how much? What would it, at what cost would it take for you to take three staples to the forehead like that?
Probably like $1,000 per staple. I don't think it would hurt too much.
Low.
That's, is it low? I honestly think that's a little high.
Big ass staple gun. This ain't a stapler.
I feel like some people would do it for like $100. Chat, how much would it take for you to Drew said $1 million.
$1 million for three staples? I don't know if I go that much, but
no, if it's each staple, I think $1,000 is pretty reasonable. It depends also where on the forehead.
Yeah, I mean, that was like almost right between the eyes where they had it on AR.
That's crazy. To my skull.
My skull. Chad said, Chad 722 says he'd do it.
Am I going too low?
10K per staple.
Ryan is saying a 12 pack of Topo Chico. That's the way to go. Yeah.
Maybe if I drank them first. Jeez.
Maybe if you drink. You know what? Maybe I need to have the staple gun in front of me and be like, all right, then I'll make the executive decision on.
I think I would do it for 3 months worth of daycare. I think that's what I'd do it for. Give me 1 month for daycare for per staple. I think that's what I'd go with. What did you say, Chris? You said $1,000 per staple.
I said $1,000 per staple. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, that would be somewhere in the ballpark. About $1,600 per staple. This is where I'd be at with that. So yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Let's go with that. MXM collection backstage with Lexi Nair. 10 out of 10. No notes. We went deep inside Johnny Television's DMs. I love how they're just sitting there saying, oh, yeah, we messaged him. We're waiting for him to respond. And magically, he's going to respond right here while we're on television. He saw it. We saw the dot, dot, dots. It popped up. We learned that Mason has a pet hog in this one. Leave it to these guys to come up with just like the perfect, you know, innuendos and double entendres and all those things. Bottom line is they wanted to team with Johnny TV in a trios match next week. Johnny TV says, nope, can't do it. I have a match with Daniel Garcia next week, but you guys are more than welcome to come ringside and be there with him. And then the best part of this, man, Sebastian fucked up tonight.
I'm so glad you got his name. I'm so glad you got his name, because I also wrote it down. I said, Sebastian, what are we doing?
Of course his name is Sebastian. Of course his name is Sebastian. You went the wrong way, Sebastian. You messed up.
The exit took me out, honestly. The fact that he just pushed it forward and he's like, no, so backwards. And then it killed the effect, but it made the bit. It was so hilarious. Because they didn't have that last week, right? They just fizzled down, and that's what it was. They fizzled down,
but it was Johnny who was pulled out, right? Yep. So Johnny did the exit where he was drawn out, and then tonight they recruited Sebastian to do the same. And needless to say, they were not touching tips with Sebastian after this promo was over.
But honestly, I hope they don't fire Sebastian over it. I want to see him again. Like, keep bringing him around. He's also in the bit now. So he should be
a mainstay. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Even if he's not in it, he should be a reference character. Like, every promo from now on, they should be just... Or I want him to be kind of like their version of Brandon Cutler, where he just constantly is screwing up every week. Yes, like, yes. Make their own, you know, like Mariah had, like their own kind of like cinematic universe, like around them, yes, and all these characters who are coming in. Get your own posse. Ow, I just stabbed myself with a pen.
Get your own Sebastian. Okay, and see, that was that as bad as a staple?
Ow. Never try to catch a pen when it's falling. That, because stuff like that hurts. Okay. Anywho, so we have the Death Riders in the main event defending their trios championships against the Conglomeration. They did end up winning this one. This one was just all out chaos toward the end, because we had Mox and Marina Shafir show up. This is after all six men have been laid out, right? Like, everybody's laughing at me in the chat now. I didn't even get paid for that. I got stabbed for a pen and I did that for free. Oh, cool. I get to pay myself $100 now. Awesome. I'll just take it out of checking and move it to savings. So, anywho, all six men are down. We get Mox and Shafir who come out. They come out through the crowd, and then immediately Orange Cassidy is there to level the playing field, so to speak. And I love how Mox and Orange are just staring each other down through the ring as this match is going on, just not taking their eyes off of one another until everything kind of breaks down. And poor Kyle O'Reilly, he ends up getting a briefcase to the face. And then Wheeler Yuta. Again, it was the third time that somebody got beat with a knee to the face tonight. But the fact that he is using the Bazaiko knee now is just poetry. It works so well now. And man, I loved the finish to this match. I really, really love the finish to this match. Especially with the aftermath where Orange Cassidy just said, F this, I'm taking the fight to you. And it's so, like, to see where Orange Cassidy was when he came in, what his character was, what he was doing when he first came into the company, to see who he has evolved into and has grown into is just fucking awesome to see.
Yeah, it's honestly incredible to see him go from light wash denim to dark wash denim. So it's really a transformation for the ages. But yeah, he's not afraid to fight anymore. Like, he was more reserved with his movements back then. Yeah. And now he's just ready to go all the time. So yeah, shout outs to Orange Cassidy. But let's talk about Wheeler Yuta, okay? He's growing his hair out. He's going through a lot. Why is he always getting beat up? Because honestly, most of this match was Wheeler Yuta going through it.
I mean, with all due respect, because I love Wheeler Yuta, whether it's the BCC or whether it's, you know, the Death Riders, he's still the number three guy, right? Like, he's still the bottom of the barrel guy. He's still the young boy, right? Like, that's why. That's why he's getting it. That's why he's constantly going through the abuse. But it's going to toughen him, you know? It's going to strengthen him in the long run. And eventually he will be able to stand on his own two feet. But again, there was a spot there tonight where, like, it almost cost him this match, is where he was kind of staring down Orange Cassidy. There's history, obviously, between those two. And it is that is going to be the ultimate test for him. It was really difficult for him to take out Daniel Bryan. I think it's going to be even more difficult for him to take out Orange Cassidy if and when the moment arises.
Yeah, Yuta being the last member of the Alliance is not good for him. And I think he kind of had to just go with the flow. So he was just a little lost. He was lost. He didn't know what was going on. But I was here for... I thought it was a good main event, but I was like, Yuta, you need to get up now. When Kyle, I think it was Kyle, had him in that ankle lock, I was like, oh my God, it's been like hours. Like, let him go.
I did love when Kyle got super kicked and he's just like, fading out. He's like, no, I'm still here and I got it. Your thoughts on this comment?
I have no comments because Yuta is my fave top three.
This man called him a bottom, but he will always be a top.
That's crazy because when the match started, people were cheering for Yuta. So I don't know what you guys were watching.
I just want to give a shout out to Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe was the MVP of this match for me. This guy was on one tonight. And I really, really enjoyed his work in this one. All right. It's hot. We're good. I'm bleeding a little bit and it's hot in this room. So Iridian, what do you got going on?
You said I'm bleeding, it's hot, and nobody paid me $100. Yeah. I am great. You guys can follow me at Iridian_Fierro on Twitter, on Instagram. Go on YouTube and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Rest Friends. That's WREST Friends. I have vlogs, I have interviews. I have an interview with Orange Cassidy. He did talk about Wheeler Yuta. I have an interview with Willow. Guys, go watch all that stuff. And make sure you subscribe, leave a comment. And yep, every Saturday you can find me here with Rick and with Cresta. Shout outs to Rick, who I hope the bleeding stopped. Rick, what you got going on?
So you can follow me on X if you're not part of the mass exodus of that app this week. You can follow me there at Rick Uccino. Same on Instagram. And same on Blue Sky. I just joined Blue Sky today. Yes. So you can follow me on Blue Sky, except it would be Rick-Uccino, which, by the way, is the same for my Venmo, if anybody wants to pay me for that pen spot. Other than that, you can follow me on any of those. Those are all one-stop shops for my work, for whether it's here, whether it's over at SI, which tomorrow I'm going to be breaking down the top candidates to win the WWE Women's U.S. Championship, and I'll have that come out on Monday. Just my personal opinion, by the way, on this, but really hard for me to pick, honestly, because that little nugget with them throwing it in there with women on Raw being able to compete, and I'm just like, okay. This is weird. So are we not getting the Intercontinental Championship too? And is this going to be a floating title? I don't know. It makes it really hard to narrow it down to five, but I'm going to try to narrow it down to five by Monday. So that piece will be out then. Until then, I'm going to go get some rubbing alcohol and some other things and bandage my hand up. And maybe a tetanus shot. I don't know.
Post it on Blue Sky so everyone can see.
There we go. Sounds good. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.